broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Sorry, Ted, we had some interference there.
Boys, thanks a lot.
Sorry. We need to run that again, bud.
Take two, Mr. Bell.
No, wait. I'm not taking two. I'm not doing any of that. What happened?
I'm sorry. We had another source open. If you wouldn't mind, we'd like to take it again.
Oh, my God. Are we on the air?
We're on the air, yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
All right, bud.
One.
Just do it, will you?
And go.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills every Saturday night. It's party night. I know this is Friday night, so a lot of you are getting off of work. What a great place to relax and unwind. Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Here at Ted's.
In Beverly Hills.
You want to put our meat in your
mouth. Wrote that.
I'm sorry?
I wonder who wrote that tagline, because I think it's a little acidine, you know?
Ted's of Beverly Hills, in Beverly Hills. Yeah, it does sound redundant.
Yeah.
I don't know who wrote that, but...
Well, it's the ad agency out of New York, and I would have loved to have used an ad agency out of Los Angeles. You know, I would have loved to have been able to say that my hometown had an ad agency, an advertising agency, that was up to the task of advertising Ted's Beverly Hills. Ted's Beverly Hills is a long-standing restaurant here in the Los Angeles area, here in Beverly Hills, but not to be able to use...
Ted?
Ad agency...
Okay.
...in Los Angeles hurts me, but we went to New York, and they come up with this piece of... They've usually been pretty good, and they came up with this Ted's Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills. What does that mean?
I don't know, other than to say that there are some places that are known, the label or the brand...
Like Chicago Ribs?
Like Chicago Ribs. There's an example. Chicago Ribs. Okay, well, it's Chicago, but it's there's a Chicago Ribs here in California. There's a bunch of them here in California.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the... They want to make sure that the brand is separate from... Do you still have the... Do you still have the location in the Bay Area?
No, we don't have a location in the Bay Area, Bill. I've told you a million times.
I'm sorry.
We have our location in Georgetown, Washington. We have our location in Miami. We have the restaurant in Honolulu. And we have the location in Beverly Hills. The one in Walnut Creek went belly up. I don't know why it went belly up. I think it's because of the tradition that San Francisco has of a lot of this bohemian and sort of, kind of a beatnik thing that happens up there. And
well, I mean, it's a restaurant-rich city, too.
Well, that doesn't bother me. Why would that bother me? I've got a great steakhouse. Restaurant-rich city. What does that mean? You know, my steakhouse I put up against anybody's in the world. The reason why I don't think it flew in San Francisco is because of the beatnik. Or not beatnik. What do they call it?
Hippies.
There's a hippie thing.
I think you're wrong. I think that San Francisco's got a very diverse... Middle class, there's a lot of different kinds of people there.
Well, you know, this is an hour that I'm paying for. It would really be great if you'd say that I just go with it instead of saying I think you're wrong. You know,
I apologize, Ted. You know what? It's a tough night. We were late going on the air. We screwed up your open. I do want to talk to you about your investments because you wanted to discuss on the air this evening gold. Is that right?
Well, I want to get into a discussion on gold because I know a lot of people are frightened that... they're afraid the economy is not going to do well. I can tell them that they should not worry. The economy of the United States of America, while it has been, it has had some ups, it's had some downs, it's had a lot of in-betweens. This country has survived a great many tough times. We will survive these times. And the first thing you don't want to do is get yourself into a panic. The second thing you don't want to do, Phil, is get into a mindset that because the news tells you things are bad, then they must be bad. And
well, that's a good point.
You have to look at life as something that you are creating every day, and it is not something that the news is creating every day. It's not something that the news is telling you how to live. I don't let a newsman come into my room. When I say my room, I'm still thinking as if I'm a child because I like to think of it, if you could think of it as a child. imagine yourself as a little boy or a little girl, okay?
All right.
And your listeners, too. And imagine that all of a sudden Anderson Cooper has come into your room. All right? Go ahead. Give me your impression of that.
I don't know.
Give me your impression. All right, Anderson Cooper may not be good because he's let's say, here's Morgan. You're a little boy or a little girl, and you're in your room, and he walks in. What? How do you feel?
Wait a minute. I don't understand the question.
I'm just asking you from a pure psychological standpoint.
Do I know who he is?
Oh, my God.
Hey, Ted, I don't know what you're asking.
No, I'm just asking you. No, you don't know who he is. Just he walks in.
I'd be scared.
You'd be scared. Exactly. Why? Because you're a little kid and Pierce Morgan has walked in, that guy that your parents watch, who talks like he's, well, so...
And what's the point of this comparison?
The point is, Phil, you should trust news people the way a child should trust a strange adult. Not at all. And I think if all of us approach those that are giving us the news as if they are people who are going to, and I mean this out of respect, Phil, as if they're going to, I don't know, you know, like molest us, or...
What kind of a, what, I don't understand that, you know.
It is very extreme, I agree. But that's, I think, outside the box.
But no, what I'm saying is I don't understand. I'm approaching listening to the news...
No, you're approaching the trust level you have of news people.
The trust level that I have of news people.
Right. You are approaching the trust level you have. Excuse me, I'm on the radio right now. Good God. We got a new server. She brushed past me. That's all right, Candy. Her name's Candy. She brushed past me with a serving tray, and these are the serving trays that are made out of gold that I want to talk about.
Well, that's really what we ought to get into, Ted.
Well, we will get into that, but what I'm trying to say to you, if you can just listen to me for a moment and all the people that are listening at home, I think this is a very, very important point. If you would look at news people with the same level of trust that a child should have for a strange adult walking into their room in the middle of the night, then...
Well, now you're talking about abject fear and terror.
That's... There you go. And
so when I turn on my news and I'm watching the news, no matter who, is that right?
No matter who.
So there's no one to trust.
Well, interesting question you're bringing up. Every time I listen to people at my restaurant, I listen to people at the bar, they're always complaining about the news. They say the news lies, the mass media this and the mass media that. And then we turn around and there's always one guy that they fight to the death over. I don't get that. You know?
Well, who's the guy that most people like?
Well, I get a lot of people, they like Bill O'Reilly, you know? I get a lot of people, they like Glenn Beck. I get a lot of people, they like the guys that you were talking about, the Anderson Coopers and the Pierce Morgans. But they're the same people that will say, but I don't trust the mass media. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. No, I get it. All right, so you're saying that we should approach the mass media with not just distrust, but fear and terror.
Fear and terror. And that way you know when you listen to the news what you should believe and what you shouldn't believe. Now, not just fear and terror. I think you should approach, when you watch the news, like right now I'm watching Anderson Cooper, and I don't mean anything, I know he's gay, so this is not a comment on his sexuality. But right now I'm watching Anderson Cooper here. We got it on in the bar.
Okay.
I am frightened that he's going to... I mean, I don't know how to... Would you say? No. I don't know how to put this. I'm frightened he's going to push his hand down my pants.
And, oh, come on, will you?
No, I'm saying figuratively.
Okay, so in other words, you're scared of anything that he's going to say. Well, can't you say that you don't believe it?
I can say I don't believe it, but I know somebody else is going to believe it. So every time I see a news person... It's not enough, Mr. and Mrs. America, to say you don't trust the news media. It's not enough to say that you don't trust Tom Hartman, or you don't trust Glenn Beck, or you don't trust Randy Rhodes, or you don't trust, some other conservative, you know. You got to say, like me, I'm a conservative, so I'm afraid that Tom Hartman is going to try to, you know, put his hand between my legs. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't understand, because it sounds like you're saying it literally.
No, I'm not saying it literally. I thought I made that clear.
Well, then why are you whispering, he's going to put his hand between them?
Because I want to give you the effect of what is it supposed to feel like for us? It's supposed to feel that way for us. When I see a newsman I don't trust...
All right, I understand. When you see a newsman you shouldn't trust, then you feel as if you're going to be molested. Now, what has this got to do with the price of gold?
Well, what it has to do with the price of gold is simply this. And, you know, I don't like the fact that you rushed me through that, but we'll...
Well, I've got to get going here because I got a break coming up.
All right. I love gold, and I invest in gold, and I want everybody out there listening tonight to listen to me as I tell you why I get gold, why I invest in gold. I invest in gold because it is substantial. It is a metal. It's not paper. It's not going to be a... Let me put it to you this way, Phil. I don't think there is a better comment on the American currency today than the sight of some poor consumer trying to put a dollar bill up into one of these Coke machines on a hot summer day, and it keeps spitting the dollar back out. Has there ever been a better metaphor for the American dollar? That when you go out...
It's true.
Exactly. When you go to the beach, and you are hot, and your tongue is dragging on the cement, and you go into one of those corner soda pop machines, and you go, thank you, God, here's a nice cold drink. You pull out the dollar bill, and you can't find the perfect dollar bill for the machine to keep spitting it back out. I'd love to meet the soft drink machine that's going to spit an American Gold Eagle back at me. Huh?
Well, I mean, Mary, what soft drink machines, you know, are going to...
I'll tell you what, they ought to take them. They ought to take them. I'd love to meet the soft drink machine that's going to spit gold back in my face the way it does a dollar bill, because I'm getting sick of it. And I know everybody listening tonight is getting sick of it.
Well, we're tired of our money not being worth as much.
We are tired of going up, yes, but it is personified. That's exactly the point that I'm making, Bill. But the personification of that, the walking, breathing example of that, is when we go to a Coke machine, I try to jam a dollar bill up in there, and it spits it back out like I just gave it fecal matter. I mean, it really is an insult. Not only that, I'm thirsty. All I want's a cold drink, and the Coke machine is laughing at me. Well, I got news for that Coke machine, and I've got news for anybody that takes dollars as a way of barter in this society. You going to take an American Gold Eagle and throw it back at me? No, I didn't think you would. Because that's what Ted Bell's using.
All right, we got Ted Bell on the line. Ted, thank you very much. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Well, he said a lot there. There's no question.
Yeah, well, he's talking about the Coke machine spinning back. I know that.
I understand. I agree with that one. Well, you know, we do have we live at the beach, and our broadcast studios are here at the El Pacifico, and there's nothing like going to a Coke machine or a soft drink machine and putting a dollar bill there and having it spit back out at you, but I don't know whether that is exactly the perfect metaphor for what's happening with American currency, but nonetheless, Ted's going to be back to tell us a little bit more about gold, the fact that he is investing in gold, and he's invested heavily in gold. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and also his comment that the American news consumer should trust news people on TV the way a child should trust a strange adult coming into their bedroom at night. What do you think of that comment? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Ted's of Beverly Hills here in Beverly Hills. That's what the ad agency wants me to say. Of course, we're in Beverly Hills. We invite you down here to have some of our slow-cooked prime rib on Sunday. All day cooked.
Here at Ted's.
In Beverly Hills.
Do you want to put
meat
in your mouth?
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills with us.
I don't like the tagline. I don't want to take up the program too much, but I don't like the tagline of the Ted's of Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills. I just think it sounds like some anus.
Okay, let's...
I apologize. I shouldn't have said that, but whoever the guy is at that ad agency, can you hold... Bill?
Hey, Ted?
Hold on, Phil. Bill? could you get Gary from the ad agency in New York on the phone tomorrow? I know it's late there. Huh? Because I don't like that tagline. It makes me sound like I got an anus for a brain. Yeah, tomorrow morning. First thing.
Tomorrow's Saturday.
All right. Henry says tomorrow's Saturday. Yeah, Henry says tomorrow's Saturday, so I guess... Okay.
Hey, by the way, Ted, I don't like being referred to as Henry.
I'm sorry. I am the sponsor.
Yeah, you could be the sponsor, but you know what? I won't have you on the air unless you refer to me as Phil or Mr. Henry.
Wow. Well, okay.
I mean, you know, if I called you Bell...
I know, but I'm paying for the hour.
It doesn't mean that you get to come on here and treat me as if I'm an underling, all right?
I apologize, Phil. I didn't know...
Yeah, I don't like that. I only my very, very closest friends in jest call me by my last name.
Really?
Yeah, really. Yeah.
All right. You know what? I think I'd like to speak with David Hall.
Fine.
Wait, what's going on?
Get David on the line. I don't believe this, man.
What's going on?
Don't worry about it. Get David on the phone, will you?
All right.
What's up?
David, I got Ted Bell here, and he wanted to talk to you.
Yeah, David. Hi, Ted Bell. Hey, Ted. Look, I don't mind coming on Phil's show. You know, I'm paying for the advertising, but I said I referred to him as Henry, and he got upset. Yeah, well... Yeah, and I was talking to, what did you do, Phil? I'm talking to you. Hold on, I want to get Phil's side of it.
I didn't do anything. I just said I don't like being called Henry. He was talking to one of his associates at the restaurant, and he said, Henry this, Henry that. I said, I don't like it.
Well, I mean, the guy's, he's paying for the hour.
I don't care if he's paying for the hour. I don't give a damn if he's paying for the hour.
Look, Phil, this is the whole thing with you, okay? You hard-ass these advertisers. Why don't you learn how to bend over a little bit? And by that, I don't mean what you think I mean.
Come on, will ya?
I don't mean... What do you mean bend over? No, hold on, let me jump in here, okay? Wait a minute, Ted, will ya? I'm talking to my business associate. Let me jump in here. Hold on for a minute, Ted, please. Oh, my God, even you talk to me like... Phil, look, I don't mean what you think I mean. You're always with this whole standing on principle thing. I don't think the audience thinks it's all that great. I think we're living in very tough times. I think you got to take a dollar where you find a dollar. Now, I'm not asking you to compromise yourself. I'm not asking you to do things that I wouldn't do. But when I say you got to learn to bend over a little bit, I'm not talking about what you think.
Well, what are you talking about?
I mean, if you want to tie your shoes and you want to walk in this world in a way where you're not going to be stumbling, you got to bend over to tie your shoes.
You got to bend over to tie your shoes.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't know what anybody else means.
Well, what everybody else means is you got to bend over as in pick up the soap in the shower.
I don't mean that. I don't mean that at all. Can I jump in? Billy's right. You got to learn to bend over.
As if I'm tying my shoes.
Yeah, sure. Whatever you say. Sure.
All right. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks, Ted. Thank you very much.
Okay, let's get back here with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. We're talking about the price of gold. I think that's what we wanted to get into, Ted, and we're already almost a half hour into the show, and I don't think we've said anything about gold.
Well, Phil, no time like the present. And in a lot of ways, just like your boss said, and I'm sorry we have to handle these things on the air, to find gold you got to bend over. So it's not just you that I'm asking to bend over. It is you.
Whoa, 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 hold on for a minute. What's with the bend over?
What did I do?
You go, and it's not just you, I'm going to bend over. It's, see, in other words, I don't think the metaphor at...
Oh, don't get paranoid, okay?
Come on, Mr. Bell didn't mean that's about a bend over.
Yeah, I think he's talking about bend over like Thomas Hugh.
Since when do you two guys get involved? What? Since when do you two guys get involved?
Well, Phil, I think...
Oh, no. Both of you guys butt out.
Well, but I was...
It said both of you guys butt out.
Phil, what I meant to say was, in this economy, you got to look for the deals, you got to look for the investments, all right? I'm Ted Bell. See, I'm not saying anything other than that. I'm just saying I'm Ted Bell. Would you please listen to me for 5 seconds?
All I was saying...
Would you just please for 5 seconds? 5 seconds. Five seconds.
All right.
Oh, boy.
We got to take a break.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
No, we don't.
Boy, you lying.
All right, hold on for a minute. We'll be right back, and we'll talk about gold here, I'm sure, at some point in the hour. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Unbelievable.
I didn't do anything.
Phil Hendry.
5 seconds.
Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills this weekend. Of course, we'll have all the sporting. Hey, baseball. Baseball, the pennant races are underway. Beach volleyball, Ted's of Beverly Hills. Come on in and have a good one. And you know, Phil, one other thing I want to mention. Boy, the weather, when it gets hot, there's nothing like coming into the Ted's prime rib room, our very beautiful lounge. We also have our water features out on our patio. You know, we have the fire pit in the wintertime. We also fire it up at night, too, Phil, because we can get some cool nights here in Southern California. There's no question about it.
Well, that's true, Ted, and I love a fire pit. You know,
they're wonderful, aren't they?
Love a fire pit. If it's just one of those nights where you want to sit outside, you know.
Yeah.
But it's too cold. But it's so gorgeous. When you get a fire pit, you can sit around that fire pit. You have a drink. You talk with friends. And
well, come down to Ted's, Phil. We got our beautiful fire pit with the lava rock, and of course our cocktail waitresses are there to. And I don't want to. Say anything because we get into trouble, but they're there to they go the extra mile, and I don't mean anything by that. And
all right,
well, I don't mean anything by that is what I'm saying, please.
Yes, I understand.
But when you said, all right, well, boy,
Ted, you would do yourself a world of good if you just didn't.
No, I understand. I just want people to know that when they come to Ted's of Beverly Hills, they aren't just getting some cocktail blister who's going to walk up and yap, you know, with the gum. Boy, I can't stand that gum. If there's one thing I cannot stand, it's the gum with the, you know, and yeah, when I want for no way. We don't have any cocktail jockeys at our place. We've got beautiful young ladies. They serve you a gorgeous drink. They're there with a smile on their face. You know what I mean?
I understand, and yes, they are, and that's all you need. Because the problems that we get when we have calls from people is you're making it sound like your cocktail waitresses, you know.
Nothing like that, for God's sake. Not at all. Not at Ted's Beverly Hills.
All right. Let's talk here about the gold, okay?
Now, I do want to talk about gold. And to that end, here, let me ask you something, because I heard you and Rance talking during the break. Now, you were talking about Loman and Barkley. They were a radio team in L.A.
Yeah, and you must know who they are.
I do, because we just geared our restaurant up. Loman and Barkley were on in L.A., and I remember them, my father told me, in fact, that Loman and Barkley, I think in the early 80s, inked a deal with their local, with the station there in L.A., and I forget which station it was.
Well, I think it was KFI.
All right. And I think they inked a deal with KFI for the two of them for, like, somewhere in the neighborhood of $500,000. So for in early 1980 dollars.
It's a lot of money.
That was a lot of $250,000 a year. And I remember when radio... You know, you're pulling those kind of salaries, and I don't know whether or not radio, you know, actually pays that kind of money anymore.
There's guys that, well, when you say that kind of money.
I mean in inflated dollars, in 2011 dollars.
There's guys that are making a nice piece of change. I mean, obviously, Howard's contract.
No, I know about Howard, but I also know he's suing. You know that, don't you?
I know that he's suing. But what I'm saying is his situation's unique in that there is some stock options. I don't know what the rest of the guys are making.
Let me ask you something, Bill. You know, with all due respect, you could probably make more money bussing tables at my restaurant than what you're making right now, couldn't you?
I don't think I really want to comment on that.
But come on. You could make more money for what they're you're able to pull down now. Couldn't you make more money bussing tables?
I'm not going to. No, I couldn't make more money bussing tables at your restaurant. Why would you say that to me?
I'll tell you why I'm saying it. It all gets back to gold. And the reason why I'm on your program.
What has that got to do with whether or not Phil Hendry.
I'm just telling you, I know the state that the radio business is in. It's no secret. It's no secret. Yeah, I know you're absolutely right. There are a few guys that are pulling down some big dollars. But the rest of you guys, you could make, Phil, if you, you know, I mean, if it was a different world and you were able to put on a skirt and a pair of high heels, you know, you were a she, you'd make more money at my restaurant bussing, doing a cocktail waitress job than you could working that gig of yours, right?
I don't know, Ted, and I don't really want to talk about that, and I don't think that's very nice of you to do that, okay?
Why?
Because I don't think it is. Yes, to answer your question, yes. I'm making more money than one of your, as you call them, cocktail blisters and one of your busboys.
All right, but not that much.
I'm not about to get into this conversation any further. I understand what it is you're trying to say. You're saying that radio is in the dumps. You're right, it is. Okay?
All right, and it's taken a great talent like you. Would you disagree that you're a great talent?
I'm not going to comment on that.
All right, but I will. You're a great talent. It's taken a great talent like you and paying you busboy wages, right?
I'm not going to comment on that, and I don't think that's got anything to do with this.
Yes, it does, and I'll tell you why. Gold. Phil,
you know, every time you get into some super embarrassing line of questioning about my salary, my life, and then you go, oh, but it's about gold. And then, Phil, let's talk about you and a cocktail waitress. Gold. And then, Phil, let's talk about you and a busboy. Gold. That's what you're doing.
What in other words, I came on the air tonight to embarrass you.
I don't know what you came on the air to do tonight, but that's what you're doing. Embarrassing me, embarrassing you, you know.
How am I embarrassing me?
You're on there talking about how every time you see, you know, Glenn Beck on TV or Bill O'Reilly, you feel as if they're going to put their hand between your legs, you know.
I'm telling news consumers that that's the way they're supposed to approach God. Would you please be fair with me, please?
I'll be fair with you, Ted, if you're fair with me.
How am I not being fair?
You... Forget about what I'm making. How much money I'm making. I could ask you the same thing. How much money are you making?
You want to know?
No, I don't want to know.
I'd be happy to tell you.
No, I don't want to know because it's probably really something good.
The point that I'm saying, Phil, is it doesn't matter what I'm making. I've invested in gold, and I've invested heavily in gold. And I want to get back to this because this is important. You, ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this. I've been talking to Phil Hendry here. You like Phil. I like Phil. He's a talented guy. He's a talented guy, and he might as well be parking cars at my restaurant for all of the money that...
Would you just forget about me and get back to what you're talking about?
I'm trying to. It's about gold.
Yes, it's about gold. Busboy, gold. Cocktail blister, gold. And now I'm parking cars.
I never... Well, I did say you could be a cocktail blister if you were a different sex, so I was being euphemistic, all right? I was being euphemistic, Phil.
Okay.
I was being euphemistic, all right?
Okay, you were being euphemistic.
Euphemistic, okay?
Yes, okay, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, gold is the gold standard. Now, I understand, and there are a great many people that like to talk to you about how, oh, gee, I wish we were back on the gold standard. Well, guess what? We're not. However, I want to tell you this. I have a lot of gold, and I have a lot of gold because I believe in gold. In fact, what I've done with the gold that I've purchased, and Phil knows this, and he knows that this is one of the things that I was going to bring up on this program tonight, I have purchased enough gold to have certain things made. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, I want you to invest in gold, not just as gold bullion or bars or golden or American gold eagles that you have sitting in a bank vault. I want you to do something with that gold. I want you to do something with that gold. All right, cue the first sound effect. Cue the first sound effect. All right, that's the sound of a flying car.
Okay, could you stop for a minute?
What?
Stop for a minute.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
I've got a sound effect machine here.
And what was that?
A flying car. And I was going to say, before I was interrupted, that with enough gold, you can make that dream come true. See, the point that I'm trying to make is that with gold, I'm going to have a gold car made. Will it fly? I don't know. I don't think so. I asked them to see if they could make it fly. With enough gold, I had a gold statue made. With enough gold, I have gold patio furniture. With enough gold, I have gold serving trays. I've got gold kitchenware. Do you understand, Phil? And I just purchased from a dealer in the Far East, in Rangoon, a gold Buddha statue, which I am going to put at the foot of the water slide in our backyard, so that every time the children go down that water slide, and the water slide does a twist to the left, so that when they twist to the left and they look, there is the Buddha. And before they hit the water, they know it was Mr. Bell. Huh? Mr. Bell. He's the one. That's, I feel good, Mr. Bell. That's why I'm feeling good. And there's the gold Buddha.
That's a very interesting point. How do you know they're not going to think the gold Buddha made them feel good?
How do I know they're going to what?
How do I know? How do you know that they're not going to think the gold Buddha made them feel good?
Well, that's a good point. It's a good point. I got what I could do is hang a sign around it. I don't know, Bill, but the point that I'm trying to make here is...
I mean, I don't even understand the whole the gold Buddha angle.
The gold Buddha, it's a gold Buddha. It was a gold Buddha that I found at a dealer in Rangoon, Burma, many years ago. I told him to hold on to it for me. He died. His son took over the shop. There was disease and heroin addiction. Something happened, but it was still there. I bought it. I had it transported over here last June. A year ago, and I'm putting it in the backyard at the foot of the water slide, and when the kids turn left, they see the Buddha, and they think Mr. Bell made me feel this good! Dad!
Well, what's wrong, Ted?
Why do I gotta go through a big explanation? A whole big explanation!
Ted, you're losing your mind tonight.
No, I'm not losing my mind. I haven't gotten 1 ounce of respect. I tried to come on here. No, get it out of here. I don't want to listen to it again. Get it out of here. Get it out of here! I came on here to talk to you about gold, okay?
You came on here to talk to me about gold. I've been hearing about what's my salary, the same as a busboy. I've been hearing you and David talking about how I, you know, you didn't want to go on because, you want to be able to call me by my last name. All kinds of chicken crap. We haven't talked about gold. This is the only quarter hour we've talked about gold, and you're telling me that you had a gold statue made.
That's exactly right. A gold statue...
And you had a gold Buddha, and you've got gold silver. You got,
Not silverware, kitchenware, flatware. Flatware! You understand? Hey, by the way, can I ask you a question?
What?
This West Memphis 3, the dark-haired guy, he's got something real. Excuse me for saying this, but there's a real... can I put it?
What?
The guy with the dark hair, Damien?
Yeah.
He's got a real piece of tail sitting next to him. Who's that?
I don't know. Maybe it's a girlfriend.
I was going to say, I bet you anything it's one of those jailhouse groupies. What do you think?
I don't know. We're not talking about that right now.
Well, you know I wanted to talk about the West Memphis 3, and you said let's do the gold because I've been wanting to talk about gold. And when I said I changed my mind and I was bored with it, and you said I had to do it anyway.
You know something? You're the guy that runs this segment of the show. I don't. I made a suggestion. You went with it. Here we are. Now, we're going to stick with gold. We're not going to do the West Memphis 3. We're going to do that later on in my program. What else do you have to say about gold?
I got a gold car being made in Germany. It's a gold BMW.
You got a gold BMW being made?
That's right. You can see I can hear the pause there. And guess what? It's going to weigh 12,000 pounds. They're not sure that there is a transport ship available that can carry that kind of weight. And guess what I said? And this is what's here's the beautiful thing about wealth. I said, I don't care. I don't care if Godzilla comes up out of the sea at Catalina and destroys every Christian soul within walking distance. And what I meant by walking distance is Godzilla walking distance. I want that car. I want to transport it here.
Even if it sinks a ship.
Even if it sinks a ship. No one's got a gold car. I will. I'm Ted Bell. I make things happen. And that's why gold is very important. And
well, you know, in this entire segment, Ted, you haven't mentioned one thing about why gold is important from the standpoint of currency, from the standpoint of why is it preferable to having cash money.
You know something? I'm not going to get into all of that, the minutia of that. I know what that's about, but I'm not going to get into that. I can tell you, you know, if you want me to get into some of it, I can tell you that gold is better than regular paper money because you can't, if you look at, you're not going to lose it. You'll lose paper money. You won't lose a bar of gold. It's better in terms of the psychology of walking into a store with a gold.
Then what about the gold standard and the value of money? What about that?
I've got to go. Okay, I'm not gonna. I don't want to give away my business edge.
All right, let's take a break here.
Oh, okay, so that, in other words, that pause means I'm full of crap.
No, I just need to take a break. 877-876-PHIL, Ted Bell talking about gold, finally. And he has a gold car that's being made in Germany, a gold BMW. He has a gold statue of himself and his family. He has gold flatware. And he has a gold Buddha in his backyard at the foot of a water slide so that when the kids turn and see the Buddha, they know Ted created all of this wealth. I'm not following. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Ted Bell here, and Ted's of Beverly Hills is your destination this weekend for the best steaks, the best prime ribs, the best drinks, the best of everything. Ted's of Beverly Hills, I'm the best. I'm Ted Bell. There you go. That's what I've been trying to say all hour.
All right, very good. Back with Ted Bell here on the Phil Hendry Show as we talk about... As we talk really here, Ted, about the value of money, you were discussing your investments in gold, which are very, very important. Do you think people really know what we're talking about when we talk about gold?
I don't know. I don't think anybody knows what gold... You know, I think people are lost when you talk to them about gold. I had very great misgivings about coming on your program tonight because I didn't want to leave anybody in the dust. I didn't want to start talking way over the head of a lot of these... people that listen to talk shows, because I think a lot of people understand, you know, they don't like Obama. But they don't really know why. Well, they know why. I shouldn't say that.
Well, I think people understand what they like and what they don't like.
No, what I meant to say was, I think that once you get past that they don't like Obama, ask them about gold, they don't know what you mean. So coming on your program tonight, Bill, has been a great opportunity for me to, you know... What is burning? Oh, you burned a steak? Now they burned one of the. That's one of the T-bones. You're gonna have to get. Who's? Well, it doesn't matter. You can be late with his dinner. He comes in there. You talk about a guy. We got a guy here, Phil. He's one of the producers. I shouldn't say his name. He hasn't paid for a dinner here, and it must be years, years and years. Go ahead, burn his steak. I don't care.
Are you kidding, right?
No, I'm not kidding. Burn it. No, now I want you to burn it. Don't argue with me. Burn it.
Well, wait, Ted. This guy doesn't pay for dinners.
Never. Not a one.
And so you're going to burn the steak, what, to discourage him?
Oh, it won't discourage him. He'll keep coming back for free meals. So that's what I'm telling Amaro. Burn the steak. Burn it until it's black on both sides and through it through. He'll still eat it. No, I swear to God he will. The kids don't believe me. Burn it. I said to burn it. There you go. Yeah, that's it. That's it.
What are you, Ted? Do you mind me asking?
Hold on, Phil. Yeah, burn it good. Cook it. You know what? I don't think it's going to be good. I don't give a good damn. There you go.
All right. At another restaurant in town, not at Ted's in Beverly Hills, we have on the line here, who do we have on the line here? Don Berman from Channel 19 News. Do you gentlemen know each other?
Ted, I'm eating in Glendale. Otherwise, I'd be at your... Wonderful restaurant tonight. How are you doing? I'm very good, although I called in, Phil, because I wanted to take exception to something that the gentleman had been talking about.
Okay, go ahead.
Phil, can I interrupt you?
Go ahead.
Don, I've got a situation. I want to talk to you, Don. Are you there?
Yes, I'm right here.
I want to talk to you, but hold on. Burn it. Yeah. Blacken it.
What is he doing?
He's got some steak he's cooking.
You're burning it for who? I hope you're burning it for John Beard.
No. Just some guy. Let me look at that. Let me see the steak. Now, see, I can still look at that. There's still some tender meat there. Burn it. You want your job? Do you like your job?
Do you like your job? Then burn the steak.
Boy, I can't believe this.
Don't worry about it. I know what I'm doing. Don, how can I help you? This is Ted Bell.
Ted, I was listening to you earlier on the Phil Hendry broadcast, and I never miss a Phil Hendry show. And you were saying that people should look at news anchors as if they are child molesters. Is that what you were saying?
I said for many news anchors, yes, that the time has come for us to be that discriminating, that we need to look at news people, news journalists, news reporters, the same way a child looks at a strange adult coming into their bedroom and sitting on the bed.
God.
Oh, my God. Oh, my. Do you understand that that's my profession? I know it's your profession. I don't necessarily mean you, but I think you all have to take responsibility for the nightmare that you have turned information into in a society. We work very, very hard at our jobs, at the 5, at the 6, and the 7 report. I know all about your 5 and 6 and 7 report. You're always giving me that. But when am I going to get news? News! Okay, and until then, Don, as much as I respect you, and as much as I personally like you, I've got to see you as somebody who's going to be... Go ahead, say it.
You're going to try to get your hands in my pants.
I didn't hear him. What?
You're going to try...
You know what he's saying.
Phil Hendry.
Phil will be right back.